Good morning and happy Sabbath, Wantirna Church. It's great to be here. Just hearing Yoshi talking about Cairns, am I the only person who's not jealous about him and Nadia going up north? I love the cold. I actually love Melbourne winters. Anyone else like Melbourne winters at all? Yeah. So enjoy the warmth and the humidity, and I hope it doesn't rain all week. No, you guys deserve a break. Everyone knows that Yoshi and Nadia both work very hard and have been doing for the last couple of years. So you guys have a deserved break. And if you answer any emails, I will be talking to you, okay? Just rest. Hey, what a great worship service as well. Georgia did an amazing job leading that worship service. So we just want to thank Georgia for doing that. She also got some young people involved as well. I saw Sam on the drums. Sam, where are you? You did awesome on that, mate. Somewhere. You're gone. We had Melody up the front. Who else did we have? We had the two young girls as well. Liz, of course, a young person too. So we thank you for being there as well. And it's just great having young people involved in the service together. It shows that we are a growing church and we do appreciate the young people. Now, we have been taking a bit of a hiatus on the Back to Basics sermon series, and as Joshua has said, we're almost at the end. So we have been talking about quite a lot, but we're going to take maybe a bit of a detour in the terms of the things we've been talking about and focus our attention on community. But before we start, of course, we're going to invite the Lord to be with us. Thank you, Marlene, for your prayer as well, but we're just going to ask for the Holy Spirit to be with me as we speak. Father in heaven, Lord, we want to thank you so much just for your love and your grace and your mercy. We want to thank you so much that we can come together as a community and worship you. And we just pray that as I speak, you know what I'm going to say, Lord, that you will be the one speaking through me, that I will not be the fallible human speaking with my fallible wisdom, but Lord, that you will be speaking through your Holy Spirit. We pray for the hearts and minds that are listening, not only here, but also online. And we just pray for your leading hand today is our prayer in your name. Amen. Now, for those who have had kids and you remember the three-year-old period, you might be able to finish my sentence here. Dad, look at me. And that happens a lot. In fact, Naomi was saying that a few times back there. She brought a little creation from beginners in kindy to show me. Look at me, Dad, look at me. It's quite interesting the types of things that she shows me. 2 days ago, she dressed up in this. See if I can get it up. She got a hold of her nappies, and she put one on her head and two on her arms, and she wanted to be a superhero, which is great. It actually reminded me of an ad that used to be on TV. Do you remember the Libra Ninja Man? Yeah. She's never seen that ad before, so it's just pure old creativity that just come up with that. But it's amazing that she couldn't just get dressed up in that and not show me. Why was it not enough for Naomi just to get dressed in the nappies and then just be content in what she created on her own, maybe look in the mirror and say, that's all I needed to do? Why is it that at a very young age, most of us, if not all of us, need a community? We need people to validate us. We need people to feel like we've actually accomplished something. A lot of the times when we do something on our own and we don't have someone to share it, it just does not have that sweetness to the achievement that we've had. There is a sense very young that we need people around us. And it's interesting, this idea of community has been very much battered and bruised after the last couple of years. We're going through COVID. I know that a lot of extroverts have been struggling. A lot of introverts have actually enjoyed the time staying at home, and some probably haven't even come back to church because they enjoy it so much, right? Who doesn't love to sit at home in your pajamas, drinking your hot chocolate, and watching the sermon from your bed, right? In fact, I was just telling Yoshi a while ago that we need to have cushions on the pews now because everyone is so used to being sitting on their beds and their sofas, and they've come back to these wooden pews again. But we've just gotten so used to the 2 years of being isolated that some people are struggling, some people are not, and maybe there are some people who don't think that community is a basic of being a Christian. There's actually a sense, even before COVID, that if you went to a Western church, Australia, US, Canada, the UK, New Zealand, One of the most identifying factors of a church in the Western world was the dropping attendance, that people were not finding coming to church as something that was important. But I want to implore you today that community is one of the basics of Christianity. In fact, it is almost impossible to be a Christian without a community. So we're going to look at three different things very briefly. There are three parts that I think community offers us: connection, transformation, and protection. And as we look at these basics, they are going to be very quick because this is just a sermon. There's a lot when it comes to this. But when I talk about community, because of the time, we're talking about church community. Now, there's a whole other community outside the church that I could talk about, but that would be a whole other sermon. So we're focusing on the church community. And we'll look at number one, connection. Now, if you asked me what was the job description of a church, I would give you this verse. Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25, and it reads this: "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, it's interesting, when you see the book that this is written in, it's a Hebrews book. So this was written to the Jews. This was specifically for God's people, telling them back in the day, in the first century, that they should not give up meeting with each other. This failure of coming to church, having a community, is not just a 2022 problem. This was a problem almost from the very beginning. We read the early church and we say, why can't we be like them? Why can't we meet every day in groups and have dinner and talk and pray and have the Holy Spirit? That didn't happen every day. Do you know why I know that? Because all of the New Testament is almost basically letters to churches who are having certain problems. And those letters are to help and encourage them. So it's not a new ideal about this fact that some people just did not want to mingle and meet. But it's interesting. The word spur on, or spur one another on. The first thing that comes to mind is sport. Now, I want to ask a question to all the people who are, I know there are a lot, sporting fans around here. Let me ask you something. Why do you go and watch a game live? Why do you actually turn up at the stadium, buy the ticket, sit in the cold around all of these people who are shouting and spitting on you and there's just craziness happening? Why on earth do you pay for that experience and sit in the stadiums? Is there any answer to it? Belonging. Atmosphere. Was that embarrassment? Oh, to barrack. Oh, yeah, you can do that too. Yeah, that's right. There's a sense, right? Because if you step back and you think about it, you can sit on your couch, not pay a cent, be in the warmth, have your food, see everything live in HD, 4K, and see every single thing, and yet people still go to stadiums and get the experience of community. That's quite literally the only reason why people go to a stadium to watch sports. Has anyone ever been to an All Blacks game before? Oh, you guys are missing out. It's a whole new experience. It's kind of like State of Origin, but 10 times more crazier, right? In New Zealand, and I was just telling this to people in the foyer, that if there's a World Cup and New Zealand is playing, the crime rate goes to zero. Because nobody is out in the streets, nobody is doing anything wrong, they're all sitting in front of a TV or at the stadium at Eden Park watching the game, right? Because there's a sense of something bringing them together, that there is something more important than what they're doing right now. They've got to be with people and to share that experience. And when it says that they want to spur on one another, I think of that. I think of this command where it's like, be like those people watching a game and spur each other on. Go team, go. But for the church, to encourage one another to do something together for the good of God. Now, there's a sense that community is so strong and the connection in a community is so strong because we are heavily influenced as human beings. It's impossible not to be influenced by one another. Even as much as you try to be not influenced by people, you are. Let me show you some stats. And you probably know some of these things, but I'll go through them really quickly. If you want to increase your self-control, find self-controlled friends. Here's the thing. Is anyone here who's addicted to chocolate? All right, I'll put my hand up too, right? What should I do to get over my addiction to chocolate? All right, lots of advice. Is there anyone here who has self-control over chocolate and does not get influenced by it? My wife put her hand up, so I married the right person. Great. Anyone else? Okay, a little less people, right? Here's the thing. When you are struggling with something, find someone who isn't struggling with it and hang out with them. It is scientifically proven that they will be able to help you more than you doing all the research on the internet, trying to find ways to beat this on your own. If you just have someone right next to you, you have more than double chance of getting over that. That's why when you go to the gym, you have a gym buddy, because they spur you on to do more than you think you can if you were by yourself. There's a sense that influence is very, very important. Let's keep going. If you have fewer friends, you take more risks. Now, why do you think that is? Because you have no one to tell you that it's wrong or that you must think about it again. All right? So if you don't want to take many risks or you do too many risks, maybe you need more people close by. Now, here's one for, I'm sorry, the young people. More social media means increased stress. Now, it's a bit of an oxymoron because you think social media, you have more connections and more friends. They actually find that the more people you have as friends on Facebook and Instagram, then the more stressed you are because you're so worried about what you're going to say. And you're so worried about what people are doing. And you have this fear of missing out. We go on. If you have close friends, you are statistically going to have a longer life. Now, these are things that you've probably heard of before. Let me just go on. If you are lonely, there are more mental health problems. Now, these are things that we saw coming out of COVID. And now in 2022, we're seeing a lot of stats and a lot of research and reports, basically looking at the case study of 2020 and 2021 and seeing the results of that now. And there are a lot of very interesting things that come out. Now, there's a book that is called, let me get this right, Five Regrets of the Dying. And it was written by a nurse who was in palliative care. And she actually compiled the list of five top things that people regret before they pass away. And do you know what? Working too much or working more wasn't on there. Having more money wasn't on there. But number two, I wish I had kept my relationships. I wish I had more friends. Because for some reason, from the moment we are born to the moment we die, relationships and community is inbuilt into our DNA. We need people. And I'm saying that as an introvert, because I know that I talk to people and they say, I can survive on my own. I can do this whole thing, even the Christian journey on my own. You can't, because God didn't create us like that. He created us to connect. Now, you've probably heard the phrase, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Have you heard that before? It's actually a biblical concept. And in 1 Corinthians 15, I'm just going to show you all the Bible verses on friends and why they're so important. 1 Corinthians 15, bad company corrupts good character. Let's go on. Bad company can destroy people. I'm going to move this up so I can speak on the mic. Walk with wise people to be wise. This one really got to me. This is not a Bible verse. You're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Have you heard that before? Right? So I want to actually give you just a few seconds to think about the five people that you hang out with the most. And more than likely, you will find yourself in the center of those people in the way that they behave, that they look, the way that they believe, their morality. And so here's my question for you. And I've heard this said before, as a Christian, we should be going out and being friends with people of the world. And I totally agree with that. But here's the thing. If you take the model of Jesus, he surrounded himself with 12 disciples who were learning about God together, traveling the world, spreading the gospel. If you think that you're strong enough to go out and evangelize to people on your own and to not have a connected base of Christians near you, you're not going to be able to do that for long. Guaranteed. So here's my next question. If you want to be a better Christian, according to this model, what should you do? You should be hanging out with people that you want to be like. If you want to be a great businessman, go and call business people. If you want to go and earn more money, find rich people. But if you want to be a spiritual person and if you want to be a better Christian, then find a community that will be able to give that to you. You cannot do that on your own. So, here's the thing though. When it comes to church, church has kind of changed. And I believe that community and church is even more important now than it was before. Let me just show you. And if I don't convince you, that's okay. The traditional model of the Christian journey to finding God and being a Christian was this. You believe first, then you become a Christian, and then you belong to a church community in that order, right? So you find about God through a book that you read or a sermon you saw online, and then so you believe, and then you go and you become that person, and then you belong. Maybe it's membership through baptism, whatever it is. That was the traditional way. It's changed. It's no longer like that anymore. The modern way of connecting and growing is to belong first, then to believe, and then to become. And this is why it is so important for us in the modern era of church to understand community as something that is almost a salvational thing for people coming to Christ. Because for a lot of people, if you don't belong and you don't feel like you're connected to the group you're in, they won't want to be there. That's why maybe 20, 30 years ago, the church was focused on trying to get Bible studies and to try to get the right theology and to do all these knowledge-based things, because once they were convicted, then they would come into the church and then they would be baptized and belong. But nowadays, you'll see a notice where churches are trying to focus on making people feel welcome. I don't know whether there was a welcoming committee in many churches 20 or 30 years ago, because that wasn't really much of a priority as it is now. Why? Because people need a sense of belonging before they come to believing and becoming. So as a church community, there is no other time in history where feeling like you belong to a church community is important as it is now. So that was the first one, connection. Transformation is the second. Now, there's a reason why we are influenced by others. God had an intention behind this idea of community. He just didn't want us to come together to do our thing and then to leave. There was a reason behind it. And it's just the idea of influencing for good. I want to show you just a few Bible verses because I want to get into the Bible just in a sec and show you that Jesus had behind his intention an idea of community from the very beginning. So I'm going to turn to Luke chapter 6. If you've got your Bibles, join with me. Luke chapter 6 verses 17 is our first verse, but I do have it on the screen for you as well. You'll notice that I'm going to Luke instead of Matthew, because this is the same story as the Sermon on the Mount. And most of us go to Matthew because there's more detail. It's Matthew 5 to 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke, it's just one chapter. But there's a reason why I wanted to show this. Remember, this is the first sermon that Jesus preached when he was here on this earth. Luke chapter 6, verses 17 says this. When they came down from the mountain, the disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area surrounded by many of his followers and by the crowds. There were people from all over Judea and from Jerusalem and from as far north as the sea coasts of Tyre and Sidon or Sidon. Now, I want you to notice something. Look at the types of people that were there. You had people from Judea and Jerusalem, but you also had people as far north as Tyre and Sidon or Sidon. You'll notice that there are two big groups of people there, the Jews and the Gentiles, from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. So we already see that this community that God wanted to create was very intentional, that he wanted different types of people mingling together. Now, what did this community look like? What did God want and what did he not want from this community? Well, he keeps going. Let's look at what he doesn't want first. In verses 24 to 26, it says this, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. There are four woes there. And so in other words, this idea of community that God didn't want is the stuff that the world actually suffers from the most. Power, security, pride, and fame. Those are the four things that if you are not part of a godly community, you will naturally form. Those are the things that Christ didn't want in his group, his godly community. And it's actually funny because if you look at those four things, those are the four things that people struggle with the most. Power, security, pride, and fame. Now, what are the things that Christ wanted in this community? What were the things that he was looking for? Well, we'll go back a bit to verse 20 and 22. Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. So if you put them side by side and you see the blesseds and you see the woes, you'll see that they're actually complete opposites of each other. Instead of power, Christ wants meekness. Instead of security, he wants sacrifice. Instead of pride, he wants humility. And instead of fame, he wants criticism. It's a very interesting opposite of what the world seeks versus what Christ's seeks. And what he's saying is that if you're part of a Christian, godly community, then you should hopefully start looking like Christ's community rather than the godly community. In fact, if you have a godly community around you, then you should be able to overcome the four bad woes of the world. You should be released of these problems that you might have in your life, like power, like security is a big one, where we just feel like we don't have enough money, or we don't have enough security at home, or we don't feel protected. All these things should just fall away because we should have trust in God. Pride should be able to be released from us, and fame and popularity should also be released from us. We should no longer be controlled by these four things. In fact, if you read on in verse 28, it says, love your enemies and pray for those who hurt you. That's the type of community that God wanted us to influence each other with, to be transformed, to be different, to be renewed. We as a church talk a lot about the transformation of the heart when Christ enters, and that is so true and the most important part of the transformation process. But what we don't also realize is there's a transformation that happens as being a part of a community of God. In John 13:35, it says, your love for each other will prove to the world that you are my disciples. A godly community brings glory to God. And this is the community that Jesus died to protect. That's number two. The third one is protection. This is the third thing that community can offer if you're in the right place. Now, in Psalms 92, verses 12 to 13, it says this, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now, there's a beautiful picture of cedar trees in my mind when I read this, but I want to give you just another picture of different trees that we may not see much in Australia called the redwood tree. Now, there are a lot of these trees in California. In fact, if you go there, they're probably one of the biggest trees in the world. I think the longest or the oldest tree in the world is a redwood tree. And I think it was almost 5,000 years old. But anyway, these giant redwoods in California can last, I think, about 3,000 years on average. So it's a very long time. So you can think about that. We're in 2020. We're talking about trees that started their growth before the Roman Empire started. Like, that's quite a long time, right? Now, I want to show you something really important about these trees. These are the roots that you see, and they're huge. I wish I had a picture of someone standing next to them, because they'd look small there, but they're actually quite big. The thing about the root system, though, is that the giant trees, if you see them in California, they're always surrounded by other redwood trees. They never grow on their own. Now, there are other trees that grow on their own, and they do fine, but you will never find a strong, big, tall redwood on its own. And the reason why is this. The root systems actually interlock with each other. So they look really huge, and you'd think that they go quite deep into the ground, but they don't. They don't go down, they go far, and they go out. And so the interesting thing about this is that for the big trees to grow, not only do the trees surrounding them stop them from the winds and all the other crazy things from outside and above the soil, but also the interlocking roots. And this is the cool thing. If one tree is suffering and doesn't have any nutrients, the other trees around them will actually pass it through to the tree that needs it. Isn't that cool? And this is just in the creation of the trees. There are many other organisms that do something similar to that. And I actually believe that this is kind of an example of how we should be as a community, right? There are many verses in the Bible that talk about the fact that if there is someone who was weak in your community, someone who was down that needs help, then the first thing that we should do is lift them up and help them. In other words, you are only as strong in your community as the weakest person in that group. And we as a church community should take on that model of the redwoods. If we want to be strong, I love Gosh's example with the children's story, where she had just the one and it broke, but then you had three and it was strong. This idea that we are together and stronger is something that is actually built into nature itself and built into our DNA. It's something that we cannot say no to. It's something that we cannot just say, I can do this on my own. And it's interesting when you hear this Bible verse like in 1 Peter 5, where it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You might have a picture in your mind like those documentaries of Attenborough, and you see the lion looking for his prey. What type of prey does the lion actually try and kill and destroy? The weak ones? The sick ones? That's actually not true. The prey that the lions look for are the ones that are isolated, always. Now, if you're weak and if you are sick, you more than likely will become isolated because your herd might leave you behind. But if you have a look closely at those documentaries and you see the lion prowling, looking for someone, it's always for someone who is outside of their herd. It's the isolated ones. It's the slow one that doesn't have the protection of the group. And the reason why I look at this, it gave me a new perspective of what it means to be a godly church community. Because unfortunately, we do have a devil who is strong. We have a devil who tries to trick us into thinking we can do things on our own. And once he convinces us of that fact, then he can just do whatever he wants to us because we are not protected by the community of God. If you have a look at stories like David and Solomon in the Bible, you realize that they fell when they were on their own. David was a very strong people person. He had a group of men called the Mighty Men that he would go around when he was young and just do so many amazing things. But the moment he falls is when he gives responsibility to others to fight his own battles and he stays back alone by himself. Same thing can be said about Solomon. In fact, most people in the Bible fall when they are not surrounded by a community. There is a protection afforded to those who are a part of a community of God. Let me give you this quote here. We're almost finished. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is a really important Christian writer. And he says this, sin demands to have a man by himself. It withdraws him from the community. The more isolated a person is, the more attractive will be the power of sin over him. And the more deeply he becomes involved in it, the more disastrous is his isolation. After COVID, we did become very isolated. And so as a community, as people who are sitting here in church, I want to implore you to think about those that you know of that maybe haven't come to church, maybe you haven't seen in a long time, and just reach out to them and see how they are going. We don't do this because we just want to boost numbers and have a full church, even though that would be nice. The purpose behind us worrying about those on the edges is because we want to protect them and be in the fold and the community of God. We want to make sure that they have the protection afforded to having people around them that care for them and care for their soul. So those are the three things. You have connection, transformation, and protection. And I want to be maybe a bit honest with you as we end. Sometimes, especially during COVID, there are times where I wish I was just an Uber driver. And I just sit in a car, and I'll just pick people up and drop them off to their destination and just see how they're going, but then drop them off and that would be the end. I've done my job. And then go home and just rest and put all my responsibilities off to the side and not do anything else. Or sometimes I wish maybe I was in a business and all I had to worry about was just getting the money in and then I'm done. No more responsibilities, no worrying about other people. There are moments in my life where I'm so low and so depleted because maybe someone in the community that I'm in has brought me down, or I've seen something else happen that has brought someone else down, and I just feel like we have failed. There are times when that has happened. But I believe in the community of God. The reason why I'm a pastor is because I believe in the community of God. I believe that as a church community, there is power in us sitting here together and being able to listen, not only to the sermon, but to each other and to each other's needs and troubles. And there is no better time than now, straight after COVID, when people are still hurting, to be able to reach out to them and say, hey, how are you going? What can we do for you? We love you. We care for you. Because there are many people like that. And that is what fires me up every day. I know that's what fires Yoshi up every day. Knowing that this community that we try to maintain is important because God thinks it's important. And that there is power in being able to come together and to worship God together. Let me end with this. In Acts, it says that we should go to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But he first starts with Jerusalem and Judea. Let us start here as a church community. Let us come together, love each other, uplift each other, spur each other on so that we can have connection, we can have transformation, and we can have protection. That in God's community there is power coming together and worshiping him. That is my prayer for you today.